Chapter 4. My brain shifted into overdrive. My back might have been against a wall, but that was hardly anything new. One thing I'd learned in long years of spine-to-brick circumstance was that anything you could do to create a little space, time, or support was worth doing. I met Mab's implacable gaze and said, "It is necessary to set one condition." Her eyes narrowed. "What condition?" "Back up," I said. "I want an extra pair of eyes along, someone of my choosing."
"Why?"
"Because Nicodemus is a murderous, murdering murderer," I said. "And if he's picking a crew, they're going to be just as bad. I want another set of eyes along to make sure one of them doesn't shoot me in the back the second I'm not looking. You're loaning out the winter night, after all. You're not throwing him away."
Mab arched an eyebrow.
"Out of the question, I fear," Nicodemus said. "Plans have already been made, and there's no room for extraneous personnel."
Mab turned her head very slowly to Nicodemus.
"As I remember it," she said, her tone arctic, "when you loaned me your service, you brought your spawn with you. I believe this request exhibits symmetry."
Nicodemus narrowed his eyes. Then he inhaled deeply and inclined his head very slightly in agreement.
"I do not have explicit authority over everyone involved. I can make no promises as to the safety of either your knight or his additional associate."
Mab almost smiled.
"And I can make none as to yours, Sir Arcleon, should you betray an arrangement made in good faith. Shall we agree to an explicit truce until such time as your mission is complete?"
Nicodemus considered that for a moment before nodding his head.
"Agreed." "Done, then," Mab said, and plucked the card from my fingers. "Shall we go, my knight?"
I stared hard at Nicodemus and his bloody-mouthed daughter for a moment. Deirdre's hair rasped and rustled, slithering against itself like long, curling strips of sheet metal. Like hell was I going to help that lunatic. But this was not the time or place.